The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of Redheads Book Club June Edition. What's good, Redheads? How y'all doing?
Good.
Wow. Donald Trump at one.
No, I was just watching Snitch. Like, it looked like you were going to say something, so I was going to let you go.
I don't know. Normally, we're like always in sync, and we're like, good.
Hey.
Yay.
No, we're here.
It's
we're here.
June. Halfway through the year, Redheads.
Ugh. So crazy. I feel like I just saw you guys, honestly, because we recorded our last episode late. This Thursday fell a little early in the month, but you know what? I just love seeing my girls. I love reading our books.
Oh, yeah.
So it couldn't come soon enough. But seriously, how is everyone doing? Snitch, we shall start with you.
Okay, thank you for the order. I'm good, you know, just same old Snitch.
Same old
I'm so sick of that same old Snitch. That's me.
I'm not sick of that same old Snitch.
That's good. That's reassuring.
We love the SOS. Bex, how you durn?
I'm durn great. I had a fantastic Memorial Day weekend, and I'm just getting really excited about my vegetable garden. I feel like it's that time of year where I'm going to start talking incessantly about the herbs that I'm growing.
What are you growing?
Herbs.
I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I can respect that you're growing herbs. And that's called growth. Literally.
Literally. I'm growing basil, cilantro, thyme, a few variations of tomatoes. I want to start growing lettuce because we make a lot of salads in the summer.
This isn't in your apartment, right?
I don't have an apartment, Snitch.
You don't?
Literally, like, I'm a perpetual nomad. But
wait,
like, well, that's
we can talk about it later. Yeah, I didn't know that.
We can talk about that offline.
Okay.
So we're just going to see where this gardening takes us, but well, you'll come over for a feast.
Would love that. Feel free to bring us some produce.
It would be my honor, pleasure, delight.
Sweet. Dana, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel like summer is just ushering in all these plans that have laid dormant for over a year, and it's wedding season again and plan season, and I am just ready to socialize after a long drought.
Really? Yes. I'm not.
I'm getting there. Like, I'm feeling good. Also, I feel like you're always fucking out and about, so you're out more than all of us, so you're like, oh, no, I'm not ready.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. I feel like I'm always fucking socializing. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I know. Also, something that I want to mention, because it feels like these 3 weeks went by quicker than usual, and I didn't even read that much, but that's also because we were in Nashville together, ladies.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you guys, we did not take one Redhead's picture.
That's so sick and twisted.
We just don't have our priorities straight.
No, we don't. We
but
don't.
But it was like the entire time, I didn't even, like, recognize
me neither at
the
all.
The special nature of the Redheads being together in Nashville, you know, like
on
we didn't
road.
Take a
we
moment
had
to
just
reflect.
Recorded, like it should have been top of fucking mind.
It's really bizarre. We didn't talk about it once.
No, I did.
We
I did
talked
post.
About books
I did post.
A lot.
I posted a selfie of me, Dana, and Red, and I go 3 out of 4. So it was mentioned.
There you
it
go.
It was mentioned.
Misty Jacks.
We did talk about books a lot.
Yes, always. That's our new thing.
Like, we really talk about books quite a lot. Like, this is an authentic book club.
No, it's so interesting because now when I'm talking to someone, like making small talk, and it comes up that like they're a reader, all of a sudden we are talking for an hour. Like, I could talk forever, pulling up our Goodreads, exchanging book recs. Like, it's really so fabulous.
It is.
It's like music.
Yeah.
Like, if someone likes country music, oh, fuck, I'll talk your ear off.
Oh, totally. Oh, fuck.
I really curse so much. Like, I would say I'm working on it, but I'm not.
It's okay. It's not true. You got to do you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so excited to talk about this month's book. This month, we read American Duchess by Karen Harper. It was a Jackie's choice. I really wanted to take you all on this historical journey that I've been on. So I want to get into everyone's thoughts on the book. I'll start with me because it was my choice.
Okay.
I really, really liked it. I liked it way more once I finished it than I did throughout the book. In the beginning, I realized it was so similar to a book I already read called American Heiress. So I was like, oh, fuck, I played myself. I'm reading the same book twice. But then it just took a totally different departure. Pretty much in American Heiress, she marries the Duke. It's based on Consuelo. She marries the Duke in American Heiress, and there's turmoil and other lovers. But then they have, like, they are actually in love with one another and they live happily ever after. And that's so not what happened here.
Okay. With that being said, so was the book American Heiress, like, was just loosely based on
loosely.
Her?
Loosely.
Like, they took the plot and ran with it.
Exactly. She had American Railroad
but
money.
But this was more of, like, not a memoir, but, like, kind of a memoir.
Yes. A biography. But not... by definition a biography, because there was information in there that they couldn't possibly have known, so you know, the author took some creative liberties but pretty much stayed true to the timeline.
Understood.
Of Consuelo's story. So once it became a whole new book, I enjoyed it immensely. I felt like in the beginning it lulled a little bit when she got remarried to Jacques. It sort of felt like an ending, and then all of a sudden the back end of the book became a whole new book when they're fleeing from Nazis.
100%.
Oh, yeah. Codename Helene.
What?
Codename Helene. That's literally where I was at. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is a completely different book.
And it's like the line will not hold, and we did know that. They were like, we hope the line will hold.
No,
like,
I know. That's what happens whenever you read like any type of World War II, historical fiction, even nonfiction, obviously, like you're just like, I know what's gonna happen. Like,
yeah.
The line will not hold. You will not get that visa unless you have Vanderbilt money.
Right. Yeah, in those years leading up to the Second World War, I was just like, oh, I know what comes next. Oh, yeah. But I also was so curious as to like what was her situation in this war. So overall, I really, really liked it. I feel like it was a great book for me to share with you guys to show you the sort of books that I read. It was very similar to other stuff that I've read, even about other people. And now I want to hear what you guys think. Dana, I'm going to start with you because I feel like I might have, a positive review coming from you.
I was very grateful you chose this book because I would have literally never have read it on my own. And I was just reminded about how sorely uneducated I am about this entire era and culture and establishment. So I felt like I was actually learning, which I feel is rare when reading. I just read for pleasure, and this was like an experiment in my education.
But that's why I like these books so much, because they're like pleasure books where, it's a story.
Yeah.
But you're also learning about real events.
Oh, I was really, really learning. And so what I liked and disliked at the same time was that the book like had no agenda. I kept trying to find the plot. I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be about a forbidden love. But then like he was dropped off immediately. We never heard about him again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, now it's going to be about how she's turning deaf. And it's like, oh, that's not even like really a big part about it. I'm like, oh, okay, like now it's going to be about her dad being sick. I'm like, it was never about any one thing. And I ultimately, once I like abandoned the desire to pinpoint down like an agenda or narrative or a plot, I was like, oh, it's just about the journey. Like I can suspend my like inclination to pick up on what the book is about and just go along for the ride.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm used to these sorts of books just about interesting people, and it's just their life story. So I wasn't waiting for that thing, but I was curious. I didn't know that she was going to have this whole other life after the Duke. I really didn't thought she was just going to,
No.
Live separately but together.
Finished the book and I was like, I'm in a totally different world. Like, yes. Where am I?
Well, the book started when she was like 18.
Yeah.
And then also, ended when she was like 65.
Yeah. Right. But also the book chronicles this time in history where there was so much change, like the turn of the century. And so in 1895, like things were done in this way. But by the time the book ends in 1945, like we've been through two wars.
Yeah.
Things aren't the same.
No, totally. I felt like an old lady after finishing it. Like I had just lived a whole life.
Yeah, definitely.
No, I couldn't agree more with you, Dana. I went into this book with so many expectations, and I was expecting a plot and less so like a historical timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie, I'm so glad that we're able to dissect this book together, and I can hear your thoughts because the whole time I was like, is this the kind of literature that Jax is like wrapped up in right now? Like, is this very similar? And I was just like, I wasn't even sure what I was reading at the start.
Yeah.
I thought the start was slow for me, I will admit. I was just like, what is going down? Like, wow, we have a long way to go. And then it really picked up for me. And I just like loved hearing about this woman and her life. And she accomplished so much. And then totally agree, the pivot to World War II. I was like, okay, like now we're in a fully war novel.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was interesting too. Some of it I felt was a little heavy-handed in terms of like anecdotes about her life. I understand why the author did that, because like they're trying to weave in as much historical information as possible.
Yeah.
But, like, it did sometimes feel heavy-handed when she was like, and oh my, I learned I was going deaf. I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, every time I heard, like, the things about, like, her hearing aids or, like, being deaf, I was like, these are such random one-liners. Like, is it all going to tie back at some point?
Yeah.
It never did.
No, it really never did. So, to answer your question, if this is the sort of books I've been reading, I read two other books that were very similar about two other women that is that are just, like, this historical timeline of their lives, very interesting women. The first book that I read was called The Queen's Fortune, which I shared on this show, which was about like Napoleon Bonaparte's first fiance. And it starts with like her coming of age and falling in love with Napoleon. And then it just keeps going, 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 just a story of her life, story of her life. And we end up in a completely different place. Like, you guys will probably never read the book. So just spoiler alert, her and her husband wind up becoming the king and queen of Sweden, and their descendants are still on the throne today. Like, it's the most crazy turn of a story, but she like lived through like the Napoleonic Wars, all these things, and it's just told from her perspective, which I found interesting. And then the other book, which I read this month, was called The Romanov Empress, a novel of Tsarina Maria Feodorovna, who was the Tsar's wife of Russia from like 1860. I think she got married to 1895-ish, like around the time of this book. But what's interesting about that book, and which is why I like reading these books so much, is there's so much crossover about the events and the characters. So this Tsarina, who I just read about, is the sister of Queen Alexandra, the queen who was going deaf.
One.
And I know so much about Queen Alexandra from that other book that, like, hearing their recollections of the same woman, I find to be so interesting. So the same goes for, like, events that take place, whether it is, like, World War II and, like, the Blitzkriegs.
Yeah.
Or even hearing about someone like Winston Churchill from, like, her point of view, like as a cousin, I find to be so interesting.
No, it was definitely history that I was less familiar with. I feel like I find myself like 1930s post era, and like this was earlier than I was used to, so I learned a lot.
I've been enjoying this earlier era of like the turn of the century.
I really liked hearing about a lot of these traditions also, like when they were wearing the robes for, I think maybe it was someone's, I forget. There was like a lot of like,
oh yeah,
life
everyone
events.
Was wearing, I think it was a coronation.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And everyone's robes like were pulling when they tried to adjust their
crown. Because like they only get brought out like every like 200 years, like stuff like that. I find very interesting, and I like love an upheld tradition. So
me too. That, I feel you.
That like gets me going.
Like the fact that none of them thought to try on their crowns before the coronation, and then they were all slipping.
Yeah.
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 Snitch, please tell us your thoughts. I am so fucking curious.
I actually liked it.
Yay!
What I thought was, I mean, honestly, it took me literally like 40% to realize that this book was a true story.
Okay. Things happen.
And then once I realized that, it's like, it's hard to hate the plot of a book or like the story of a book when it's like, this is just like physically what happened. Like, you can't change history.
Yeah, but you could hate the writing. You could also say this is not a story worth telling.
That's
true.
You
could say this is maybe a story worth telling, not one I care to read about.
Right. No, I actually enjoyed it. And it was like, it was the perfect way for you to intro us to like this genre. Cause if it was like, so like felt like a textbook, like I would have killed you. But this was like kind of like a combination of like all things. Like we had the ghosts, like we had things like for everyone in this book.
I felt it was a little snitchy because it was like romance. Like it was a love, hate, love story.
You would think, but nothing that would be in like a book that I would like would happen. Like, okay, maybe her and Sunny, that was the name, right? Mm-hmm. Start out hating each other, then fall in love. Nope. Maybe her and Winthrop, forbidden love, you know, end up together. No. It's like all of a sudden Jock from like this one time talking about a hot air balloon is like, that's where we landed. You know, like at that one, I didn't really entirely see coming.
You know what, Snitch? That's called real life.
I guess. But like we never heard about Winthrop again. And like that was strange because they made him such a star in the beginning. So I'm like, okay, of course we're going to close this loop.
I totally agree. That was strange.
It just goes to show how like people in your life at one point in your life can feel like the whole world to you. And then even 10 years later, it's like, oh. That person,
True.
That's life, Snitch.
That's what I just took from it. This is life, and I need to stop fixating on like one part of it and just go along for the ride.
Yeah, because like think about how different your life will be in like 50 years compared. Like same with her.
Yeah, and also they're not trying to prove something; they're just telling a story.
Right.
And
are we going to talk about like the article?
The art. Oh yes.
Okay.
I want to talk about the article because I shared some salacious Daily Mail article with the girls that sort of upends Consuelo's story. This telling of it, at least. But also what I was just going to say is like, it's interesting to learn about periods in history through the lens of like someone like Consuelo, like with that level of wealth, privilege, like on the one hand, like the fun things, like the clothes and the jewelry is like so exciting, but just even the way that she navigated getting a passport and getting out of the country, like, so I like when we see things like from that human lens, and I think she's a really interesting and fabulous person to see through her lens.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But I also totally agree. What like was confusing to me was like they never explained what she looked like.
We were talking about that before. Yes, all we got really was that she had a really long neck and that she was really tall. I've looked up photos of her, and she really has a really long neck. And
really?
It's like, she's tall and slender, and she has brown hair. She's not sickeningly stunning, but she's not cute. Like,
okay,
I think she's a good-looking woman. She's clearly, like, she was so respected. She obviously had such a fabulous personality because every circle that she encountered, she just charmed everyone off their feet. Even so many people who were, like, hell-bent on not liking her, which I found to be, like, why she was an interesting person.
But that, like, always happens
study.
In every fucking book that we read, and you always talk about how you hate that.
Why? Oh, but this is a real person.
I guess.
She,
but, like,
she got Sunny back in good graces with the queen.
Literally. She did that shit, Snitch.
Okay.
So you know what? Now you could say to me next time I come for one of your books about how everyone's so likable, you could say to me, well, that happens in real life. Look at Consuelo.
Yeah, she really does have a long neck.
Right, so that's why the author
I'm, like,
harped
shocked.
On it.
I feel like, honestly, like, now, I feel like someone said that once, and, like, every artist decided to paint her with a really long neck, and I doubt she actually had one this long.
I mean...
No, I think some of these
perfect,
are photos.
Perfect neck for diamond, Snitch.
That's so true. Wow, she could layer the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, should we get into the DBQs? Because thankfully the book had a reader's guide. Yeah.
Hey.
Actually, a lot of these books that I read have reader's guide. And I'm like, fuck, I should have picked it for the red. Okay. First story from the Reader's Guide that we love. How does Consuelo's American democratic background versus the Duke's aristocratic one merge or clash in the story? Should she have handled things differently? Why did the Duke hate America? Good fucking question.
Everyone did.
Yeah. I would say that her progressive mindset and nature often clashed with his more traditional mentality about how women in particular fall into, like, place within a family and the expectations of a woman within their life, etc. Whereas I think, like, her American gusto was like, I'm here to make changes happen.
Yeah.
And you may be unfamiliar with that because of your English background.
Yeah. I also think that, like, in this time in history, before even World War One, where America was not a superpower, it was sort of like, you know, like England's rebellious little cousin still. And so it's like, oh, you like annoying Americans. But then the face of the world really changed after World War One and World War Two, where, like, the U.S. came in twice and helped everyone out. So I think at that point in history, it was just, like, these pesky Americans.
Yeah. I feel like the main differentiator was independence. Like, he was always taunting and being condescending about how independent she wanted to be and, like, making decisions behind his back, like, giving food to the poor. And, like, she wanted to sit across from him at the table instead of both of them at the far ends. And he would kind of scoff and be like, your American independence is always getting in the way of traditional English customs.
Mm-hmm. She, like, a lot of the book was, like, giving me Princess Diana vibes.
Oh, interesting. I was actually curious, and I meant to do research, if Princess Diana was related to this family in any way, because her name's Diana Spencer, and this is the Spencer Churchill family. I guess I could just do a quick...
Vanderbilt.
The names were so hard for me to keep up with.
Same. The Duke's family was Spencer Churchill.
Oh, you mean the Duke's family. She's related to the Duke's family, not concerned.
Yes. I'm looking up if Diana and Winston Churchill were related, and yes, they are.
Wow.
So she's a member of this family. And those were so many things that I found to be so interesting. Like, that Churchill, I didn't know that much about his upbringing. I just had read in another book that he was once courting the same girl that was, like, going after the Prince of Wales or whatever, or something like that. And so I didn't know that he was, like, this, like, aristocratic guy. And of course, you don't get to be prime minister without, like, doing a lifetime of work. And so seeing his career also, like, you know, as a subplot was super interesting.
Totally.
Okay, next question. Consuelo's handling of her mother over the years says a lot about both women. Should Consuelo just have cut her mother off after she was forced to marry the Duke? Is Alva strictly a villain? Does she redeem her earlier conduct? Why do you think she acted so dictatorially?
The mom was, like, a weird character for me because she just seems so, like, status hungry and opportunistic and would do anything at any cost to get her and her family elevated in society. But at the same time, she was like staunchly for women's rights.
Yeah, and
such
she
an activist.
Divorced her husband, yeah. who was like her meal ticket.
Those two just seemed at odds with one another for me. I'm like, are you an insufferable social climber, or are you like an impressive trailblazing activist? Like, can those both exist in this time?
Totally, I agree. They seemed in conflict with one another, but maybe it was like at a certain point in her life, she realized what was important for her, which was like being with the person that she loved. And,
yeah.
And
but what's weird is that revelation was coming to her at the same time that she was forcing her daughter into this marriage.
But maybe she was like, but my daughter deserves the world.
Yeah.
You know, or it must have like all of these things. Or maybe she was even using her daughter's marriage as a crutch so that she could go and do her own thing.
True.
Because I think they sort of balanced each other out in terms of status.
And she ultimately did make the ultimate sacrifice, which was the annulment, claiming that she forced her daughter into it. Like, she came back around.
I felt like she redeemed herself with that.
I agree.
Because also at points in the book, Consuelo sort of looks back on things and is like, you know, what she got out of her marriage with the Duke, she got so much aside from her children. She did get this status and like this influence that she was able to do so much good with. So even though things happened and she didn't find love until, you know, she was 38 and she had to pause her life for so long, it wasn't all bad.
Yeah, and she recognized that, and
she recognize it, which I give Consuelo a lot of credit for. That she, when the annulment was happening, that's when she had this moment of self-reflection that was like, was it as bad as I think? Like, I got my two children, and I made a lot of progress in terms of just like bettering the communities around where I lived, etc. And she made so many incredible connections, but I definitely think that. And I actually think that she was self-aware even when it was all happening with her arranged marriage, because she was, like, obviously heartbroken and devastated, but she was like, my mom, like, went through such a terrible time with her family and, like, their farm kind of, like, falling apart during the Civil War. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know that like she had to be really strong for her family, and she is just encouraging me to have the same strength and bolstering me into a position where I am able to thrive.
Yeah.
And have the means necessary to do so and the accessibility in like the royal public eye.
I love when Miss Harper snapped at her. She's like, bitch, you think I want to be waiting on you hand and foot? I want a family too. Like, shut up and go live in the most beautiful mansion imaginable.
And I think like older Consuelo, when she looked back on her life, like, would she rather have married Winthrop or gone down the path that she did? Would have chosen to go down the path that she did.
Yeah.
You know?
I also thought that her mom, like, opened up doors for her in the sense of, like, her mom got divorced, which made it okay for her to get divorced, which I feel like, I don't know, might have played a part in, like, the mom's decision to force her, because she was like, she'll get out of it if she wants to.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe foresight. It was, like, giving her this level of status where she could do what she wants with that, you know? But it's something that you can't just go and get. You can't just become a duchess. But I mean, in this case, she did buy
But
it.
Honestly, like, I'm glad that her mother did not let her marry Winthrop.
Yeah,
like,
that would have been like a deadbeat.
Yeah, he was sketchy.
Yeah. Like, she was capable of just so much more. She was just thinking small.
100%.
Okay, the author says, I could not have possibly made up a character like Gladys Deacon, who's the Duke's second wife. Is she a sympathetic character or just the opposite? Can you understand her being unbalanced? Also, did you suspect she was after the Duke? At what point? Before Consuelo realized it? Why didn't she catch on right away?
Whenever someone is mentioned as a friend of a husband, I'm like, you're a problem.
Yeah, when he brought in like an American girl who was so beautiful, stunning, and smart, I was like, oh, okay, like, threat. But then Consuelo didn't see it that way, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just like so
Consuelo didn't care.
And insecure, like, that's on me. Oops. But no, woman's intuition.
100%. No, I made the error. So I'm a little biased while answering this question, because I looked up Gladys Deacon because I wanted to know like her relevance in historical society, and it was like second wife of the Duke.
Oh, fuck. Like,
that's hilarious, you bloodthirsty psycho.
Yeah. No, I have done that sometimes before, and I really wanted to look up Blenheim Palace and some of these other houses, and I was like, I will wait till the book ends, otherwise I'll find something.
Burned in a fire.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, it's bizarre because I wasn't doing that with every character, but Gladys, for some reason, I was like, I need to understand like her relevance in this world. And I was like, oh, well, no.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she really couldn't have made up a character like that because I don't think I would have believed that she just like, one, got this like nose implant that fell to her chin, that she showed up at the house with a gun, that she slept with the revolver by her bed, that she breeded all these Blenheim Cavaliers at the estate. But that's why I love that it's a true story because it's like, oh no, it's stranger than fiction.
Totally.
I was kind of rooting for the Duke to find his happy ending. Like, I was saddened by his fate because she found love and, like, he wasn't a horrible husband. They just didn't like each other. So it would have been nice.
He really didn't do, like, anything wrong.
Yeah, like, he was trolling a little, but that was the era.
Yeah, he was just a little miserable. But, like, he went down his path of finding love and, like, that's his ticker, that picker, that he picks someone who was nuts.
Yeah.
What does Mrs. Prattley mean to Consuelo? Something beyond mere charity? Why does Consuelo continue to think of the old lady over the years? So there's this connection between, like, obviously all the philanthropy that Consuelo is doing between especially young people and old that she reaches out to, and Mrs. Prattley kept coming up. And I just think it was just a symbol of, like,
charity.
Of charity and also her desire to, like, have deeper connections with people and ability to do that. Like, she was capable of it.
And I think it was symbolic of her helping the communities that she helped. Like, a reminder that she was, like, a do-gooder philanthropist in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and her, like, constantly seeking out that feeling of connection with the next person that she helped.
Yes. The only thing that got her through the marriage was the opportunity she was going to have to help people. So I feel like she... The old woman was a symbol of that, of just like, okay, this is why I'm in this position, so that I can give back.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So many of us tend to see war that is distant from us in time or place in abstract generalities. Today's media close-up and personal coverage makes the human impact of war more real. How does Consuelo's contact with refugees make the impact of war hit home for her? I mean, I don't think it could have hit any fucking harder. And you know what? Actually, the lack of coverage, so to speak, really made it so that they could not ignore the war until it was on their doorstep. Yeah. And it was really interesting to see how everyone was sort of like dancing in the streets and, you know, peace is here. And like Winston Churchill's like nuts trying, like letting everyone know, you know, they danced while Rome burned. And it was ironic to see it from that perspective of like this slow march to, like, you know, September 1939, like, you know, what's coming, and they really didn't.
I was like a little annoyed. Obviously I would have done the same thing as anyone would in her position, but her whole shtick was like altruism, helping others, and then like the second she got the opportunity, she ran to the front of the line with like her letter saying that she has to leave the country.
That just didn't annoy me, just because I get it, obviously,
but
thing.
I'm just like, you were very quick to abandon your like morals of helping the poor.
But she was sort of special because she was on that list.
Yeah,
like she did need to get out.
So did everyone, but I guess that would have been her rationale, like, no, they're looking for me.
Yeah, no, I get it. This was, like, not a ridiculous decision on her behalf, just contrasted with, like, the previous page of, like,
oh,
I only
she barely
wanted...
left.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, next question. The author says she knew a lot about Sarah Jennings, the first Duchess of Marlborough, because she had visited Blenheim. I had watched the excellent BBC series The First Churchills. Sarah had quite a temper, almost as explosive as Alva's. Is her ghost hostile or friendly to Consuelo, and why? Are you aware of any other cases of historic ghosts tied to their homes or to their great achievements?
I am.
Yeah, literally, when I think of a ghost in a book, I think of Layla.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, too. Like,
she's a historic ghost.
It was a weird, interesting touch that the author added. It's clear that, like, that is probably a factoid of the house that she maybe couldn't have not added. But I don't believe in ghosts.
I just simply don't believe in ghosts. Yeah, right? It's
like,
just
they're
as
opening
easy as
and
that.
Closing the doors and, like, taking stuff out of the luggage. Like, I just don't believe in it. Like, I'm happy for them that they feel that connection. But, like, come on.
Like, until I see a fucking ghost take something out of my suitcase and, like, put it away, like, I'm not going to believe it.
I agree. And if it's not the ghost of Sneetch's past, I don't want it.
No, I don't want it.
It did feel like a reach at times. I was like, there's so much else going on in this story. Like, why are we fixating on
why
this ghost?
Why are we keeping going back to the ghost?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They did make it, though, I think that, like, the women were the only ones who really saw the ghost.
Yeah.
So I guess it was just, like, a tie to, like, feminism in this era.
Yeah, definitely. It seems that both Alva and Consuelo changed houses frequently. In what way were their surroundings an extension of themselves? Did you find this is also true about yourself in your choice of home or and decor?
I mean, I fucking wish.
I wish I had one home.
No, like literally every time like something changed in their life, it's like, so we had to move and buy a whole new estate.
Yeah, every chapter was like, oh, we bought a new estate.
I know, like the property was so sickening, but it is interesting because like Blenheim Palace is open to the public now. I actually read a really sad article. They had to lay off like 78% of their staff because of COVID. They had at one point 450 people working on the property. It's like so massive, and it's like a park, and it's open to the public, and the family still lives there, the Marlboros. So that was a bummer to read.
Next Redhead's field trip.
Oh my God, that would be so cute. We could also
Are the Marlboros still relevant?
We could
like
also
relevant?
Go to Newport and go to the Vanderbilt house.
We can go to Long Island, Staten Island, see the graves.
We really could.
We should do a tour day.
We could go to the south of France. We could go to Ez.
Are the Marlboros still like of any bit of importance?
Well, they are still the Marlboros and the Duke, but those things don't really mean anything anymore.
Okay.
You know?
No, I don't, because isn't there like a monarchy?
There is a monarch. No, they still have their titles, but like it's not like the way that it used to work. It's like everybody like lives on their property and brings their crops to the main house, and like now they just live in like a capitalist society, like where everyone just works for themselves. Like at one point, the Duke actually, the Sonny, like needed money for the house, but like based on the laws of that time, he couldn't actually get a job, which is why he had to marry for money.
Right. And she like saved the Marlboros or whatever.
Right. But like you would think like, oh, you need money, like go work. But he actually couldn't have because he was royal. So that's just like an interesting thing.
I wish like there was a rule like that for me.
I'm so fucking royal.
No, I thought the like explanation of all the homes and like there was just so many.
Oh my God. It took me forever to just even fucking realize what Blenheim was. And then, like, just because I just was like, I just can't remember the names of all these things. But I only remember the name Blenheim because of Cavaliers. I was like, that's so weird that it's, like, named after a type of Cavalier breed. And then, you know, obviously that was why.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that that was a type of Cavalier breed.
Oh, so I went to look up. Once I saw that Gladys was breeding Blenheim Cavaliers in the house, I was like, oh, so there's a tie-in. So I Googled it. And it turns out that the term Blenheim for Cavalier is based on the Blenheim Palace. And just so you guys know, Bruno and Theo are Blenheim Cavaliers.
Oh,
it's the orange and white color together. Oh, that's
orange,
brown and white.
Ruby and white.
Ruby and white is Blenheim. That's Theo and Bruno. Magnolia is Ruby. So there's tricolor Cavaliers, but Blenheim are Theo and Bruno, and that is named after Blenheim Palace.
Oh my God. Wait. So sorry. I'm just catching on. Blenheim is named after Blenheim Palace, or Blenheim Palace is named after Blenheim's?
No,
Snapchat. No.
Oh. They're not that important, I think. Here's the tea. During the early part of the 18th century, John Churchill, the first Duke of Marlborough, kept red and white King Charles-type spaniels for hunting. The Duke recorded that they were able to keep up with a trotting horse. His estate was named Blenheim in honor of his victory at the Battle of Blenheim. Because of this influence, the red and white variety of King Charles Spaniel, and thus the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, became known as the Blenheim.
Oh.
And that is Bruce.
Hmm. So there were white Cavaliers back in the day?
Did I say that?
Did she say
that they were breeding Ruby and white Cavaliers?
Kept red and white type spaniels. I think red and white together.
Oh, okay.
I think so. I think, but you never know.
I'll believe anything you tell me.
I was just shook by the visual of like their beautiful like ballroom or dining room, just like converted to a kennel.
I know, like you can't even imagine like how scary that probably is.
Oh my God.
And I'm sure like after Consuelo left, like the rest of the house like just like wasn't,
went to shit.
Wasn't kept up, and you know the like the roof's leak and all this stuff. And also, so when I read the last book about the American heiress, then I found out, which was very similar to Downton Abbey. Has anybody watched that?
No.
If you watched it, you would get really Downton vibes from this book. But what I didn't realize was like at this period of time, like in the turn of the century, when all of these estates like didn't have enough money to like fix the roofs, which were leaking because they had been built so long ago, so many of them married American heiresses, and like these heiresses, dollar brides,
right,
as they
right,
said,
right.
like came in and saved all these houses. Consuelo, I think, was like the biggest and the baddest one in the biggest and the baddest house, but there were many like her, and that's also a part of the show Downton Abbey.
Huh.
Beautiful.
Just a fun fact. Now it's time to get into the redhead questions, but before we do, I need to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Masterclass. With Masterclass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, at your own pace. You can learn how to do makeup with Bobby Brown. You can learn how to cook from Gordon Ramsay. You can get business lessons from Bob Iger. You can take acting lessons with Natalie Portman. With over 100 classes from a range of world-class instructors, that thing you've always wanted to do is closer than you think. We love Masterclass here at the Redheads because clearly we love learning, growing, becoming experts in any particular field. Bex is now a professional omelet maker. We can't wait till we're doing like Redheads brunch and she's cooking for all of us. I love the Bob Iger business lessons. Like, I'm just always looking to become a businessman, Bo, and Masterclass is the best place to go for that. I recommend you check it out. Get unlimited access to every Masterclass. And as a Redhead listener, you get 15% off an annual membership. Go to masterclass.com/book. That's masterclass.com/book for 15% off of Masterclass. You guys, Masterclass is an amazing platform. The possibilities are endless. If you have any sort of itch that you want to scratch, like, Masterclass has it for you. And this is an amazing deal to get 15% off. Go to masterclass.com/book. Okay, time to get into the redhead questions. We got some great ones. First up, love the Jackie historical fiction picks and loved learning about this incredible real woman in our history, just like in Codename Helene. However, in this book, I feel like the characters were told to us rather than shown to us. We hardly actually knew any of the characters, so I never really felt invested in them. Am I alone in feeling this, or did the redheads also find themselves totally detached from the characters?
I get that because it was only from one person's perspective.
Yeah.
But personally, you know, I fucking love that. Like, I just hate when things are just bopping around. Like, I'm in someone's head every other freaking chapter.
Oh, you're glad that we didn't switch perspectives.
Yes. But I do understand, like, yeah, I'm the only person that I really genuinely cared about was Consuelo, and then, like, everyone else was just, like, a byproduct.
Yeah, and it's like, Sonny comes off so terribly, and it's like, but was he that terrible?
Right. This is your experience. It's not mine.
Yeah.
And I think that was my hesitation at the start of the book, like, not understanding if I was jiving with it or not, was the fact that it was sort of a timeline and less of a narrative and novel. And character development are tied to the latter. And, like, that's just not what this book is here to offer. It's here to offer a lot of things, but it's not going to, like, tell you the nitty-gritty about, like, every single character. Because, like, it's such a fast-paced timeline and, like, so much history packed into 300 pages.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like the writing itself informed that too. Like, the way it was written, it kind of felt like old Englishy. Like, I wasn't reading a modern book, not only in the content, but in the writing style. So that kind of put distance between, like, intense character development.
Yeah. I also felt like for a portion of the characters that we don't really know, like Blanford, her son, and, you know, Ivor, we just went with what she said. We only saw them through her eyes. Yeah. And, like, they told us, she told us how they were. We didn't get to see it for ourselves. Like, an example of Ivor not being very strong or whatever. But then for the historical characters who, like, we've heard of elsewhere, like Winston Churchill, I thought it was cool that we did get to see them through her lens. But I thought the character development of Consuelo herself, like, in the beginning, she's really, like, this ignorant young girl, and from every, like, chapter of her life, you really see her grow, and it never felt like she jumped from being, like, so green to them being a wise woman. Like, you really are on the journey with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it feels like the same person the whole time, but then when you look back at the beginning, it's like, who was that girl?
They do capture her voice. Like, they did a good job consistency-wise on, like, oh, a Consuelo's talking, and I feel like this is her.
Yeah. What do you think was the story with Winthrop? Why was he such a fuckboy and unmarried in his 30s? Yeah, I wish they let us know, like, what was the tea on
what Winthrop. What came of him.
They did say that, like, there was rumors that he was sterile and, like, couldn't produce a child.
Oh, right.
So that might have been part of it, but it was never confirmed. That was just, like, a rumor.
Yeah, I would have just liked to, like, close up the button on that, but I have to be honest, like, I wasn't thinking about Winthrop at all.
I was.
Of course, because you thought it was going to go the way.
No, but, like, not even that. Like, I just, like, don't get me started on this story and then not finish it.
But that's, like,
it just,
I get,
like,
it, Jackie.
It's like young love that, like, we're past that. Like, but, like, sees the world beyond.
Older than her. I was, like, a little, like, oh.
Yeah, well, that leads to the next question. Do you think it's weird that the only two men Consuelo loved were friends with her father, Winthrop and Jack?
I mean, she really loved her dad. So, yeah. Like, I might be
an
Oedipus.
He's a good-ass dad.
Yeah, a gad.
He is a good-ass dad.
Like, Oedipus complex, like, maybe.
Or maybe she was like, I have a good-ass dad. Like, if he likes someone, they're a good-ass guy.
Gag.
Mm-hmm. And, like, her mom was so awful. So, it's like, I like my dad even more.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Do you think Consuelo's marriage was the reason that Alva Vanderbilt was accepted back into society after her divorce? We touched on this a little bit earlier, and now that this question has been posed, I kind of think, yeah, like, yeah. You have an American duchess for a daughter. I think Alva could have worked her way back and would have worked her way back, but I think it was definitely expedited that because at the same time, her daughter was becoming a duchess. Also, I tried to do a little research but didn't find out much, but I think that her second husband, Oliver Belmont, was, like, Belmont Stakes guy.
Oh. I feel like it's, like, every person was important.
But it was also evidenced the... climbing her way back into society was evidenced by when they hosted that grand ball for the Duke's arrival to the United States. Every single person was clawing for an invite and every single person RSVP'd yes. Like, that was, like, the first indication, like, oh, this is going to be a good thing for my reputation.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure about the Belmont Stakes. I just made that up.
But like, it would track.
Yeah, because, like, now, like, everyone has the same last names. Then, like, no one really did, unless they were related.
Yeah, no, it was, like, really...
Is that how that works?
It was, and also, like, do you guys... I don't know if you guys, like, are fans of Edith Wharton.
Yes.
But it was cool to see her in there. And because people do say that her book, The Buccaneers, is based on Consuelo.
Oh, totally.
So it was cool that they had a little convo in there.
Yes, I loved that.
Also,
H.G. Wells. Like, I loved, like, all of, like, the authors.
Yes, Lord Balfour made an appearance. And if you've been studying up on your Israeli history, that name should mean something to you. The Balfour Declaration. Just all very cool. It was a lot of very cool cameos, I felt.
Yeah. For sure.
And did you read the author's note? It was after the excerpt from the second book.
No.
Okay, well, she talked about how she enjoyed, like, putting in those tidbits, and she actually had wanted to do more because I guess she wrote a book about... It was called The Royal Nanny. It was about the Prince of Wales's nanny, and she wanted her to run into her at Sandringham, but the time they visited Sandringham, she wasn't the nanny yet. She was like, and I tried to just remain true.
It must be such a
nice...
That's
really nice of her.
Yeah.
...experience to read these books where you know so intimately all the characters.
Yeah, but then on the one hand, yes. On the other hand, it gets a little bit redundant, you know, like...
Because you know what's going to happen.
No, and also because it's like I'm reading a lot of the same stuff, but in the case of this book, which was... more similar than anything I've read before, the most similar to something I read before, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And when it's a true story, like, it's always better.
Agreed.
I think. Of all the homes described in the book, which one would each of the redheads want to live in?
Ooh, I think Cowhurst or whatever it was, like, her little...
Her sanctuary
in the fields, like, seemed very wholesome. There was, like, a lot of farm-to-table action, a lot of fresh flowers.
Oh, that's so Bex.
That really touched my soul.
Yeah. Snitch?
I don't remember what it's called. Like, I'm sorry. I can't remember the name. The one where she had, where her mom was, like, across the ways from her.
Yeah. It was the last one. I think, like, St. George Motel or something.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's what I would want.
Right.
Yeah. That just sounded, it sounded like a nice, just, like, reprieve from the world. Like, she, like, could be who she wanted there. And, like, that's just, like, what I need.
Yeah. I think I'm going Blenheim.
Of course you are.
Rhode Island.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. I was thinking that one, too.
There's also, West Palm or Palm Spring?
Not Palm Beach.
Palm Beach.
And there was also 665th Avenue.
Yeah. So. I was going to say 665th Avenue, but like...
I want to get out of the city.
Yeah, exactly. Currently, I went out.
Okay, last redhead's question. I'm so curious about your thoughts on Consuelo getting married at 18 and then having to move to a brand new country where she knows no one. Honestly, it reminded me of Bridgerton with Daphne having to marry the Duke. Anyways, my question is, what are your thoughts / how would you feel if you were born during that time period and had to marry so young and move away from your family?
I just feel like it's like we, in hindsight, we're just like, I would never, like, I can't, like, but imagine, like, this is actually, like, the society that you live in, like, the world that you live in, like, that's your everyday, like, what else are you going to do besides, like, do it?
When you turn 18, you are going to have to get married and you are probably going to have to move. And so you just have to hope that it's to somewhere and someone that you like. Like, that was just.
It's like, I would never. It's like, no, you probably would.
You would not have had a choice. And that's a lot of the books that I've read, and a lot of them, like, she went on to become a duchess, but in some of the other books I've read, it's like girls who grew up, like, in minor royal families, like, going on to be, like, the queen or the empress, and it's like, or moving somewhere like Russia, where it's completely different from what you know. And Britain is so different from the America. US and what she knew. And so I agree. And I feel like for her, it's like she's now in this society where it's like, oh, we're friends with the royals, but, like, she didn't care.
Yeah,
she's freaking American.
But I think that's also what allowed her to do really well in these circles, because she didn't have, like, you know, she wasn't as nervous as everyone else. She had nothing to lose.
Yeah. I felt genuine stress at that. Like, moving to a different country, having to host and, like, do everything by yourself and throw parties. Like, my worst nightmare.
Yeah. Your worst nightmare.
Definitely. Okay, now we're doing a new section that is just for this book and maybe other books like it, where instead of the Kindle highlights, we are doing a section called Historical Factoids, where I want to hear from each of you what was one interesting historical factoid that you learned from the book that you did not previously know.
I did not know that Winston Churchill was the prime minister.
Okay.
And I'm sure I knew this at one point, but I did not remember that World War I started with the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria.
That's like truly like the only thing I know about World War
I. You know what? That's the only thing I know. When I hear the name Franz, I'm like, and it's World War I.
Yep. And here we are. And I know the dates. 1914, baby.
Yeah. I know nothing.
And I know Treaty of Versailles. Like,
yeah, that I knew.
I mean, it's like, I think you realized at the end of the book who Winston Churchill was. Did you look him up?
Yes, I Googled it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I knew that. But, like, I so didn't.
Yeah. No, but, like, now it's like if you read the whole book, like, knowing, oh, Cousin Winston is, like, going to
I
be...
looked it up really early because the second they said Winston and then, like, Churchill, I was like, who's Winston Churchill again?
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Love to hear it. Snitch, what did you learn?
I think what I learned is that there was a time period where Americans were marrying people, like, in Britain to, like, save their castles and houses. And it was, like, that was just a really random thing that I didn't know.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't know that either.
What I learned or thought was really interesting was the way that they talked about things that in hindsight we refer to so differently. Like when she talked about Civil War, she called it the War Between the States. And when they talked, it wasn't called World War I and World War II because, like,
they didn't know there was a two.
There wasn't gonna, they the didn't know war. There was going to be a two. So it was just really interesting. And how, like, at, you know, during World War I, they called the Germans the Huns. And now that's not even a, I clicked on it to see the definition because I never heard that before. And, like, now they're just the Nazis, you know? And she said that at one point. She's like, the Huns, well, now they're called the Nazis, are coming in.
If you go to the South, even today, they refer to the Civil War as something other than the Civil War.
As, like, the War Between the States, or, like, at one point, she also called it, like, the War Between North and South or something.
Yeah, like, the War of, like, the Confederacy being lost, basically. Like, it's, like, not leaning towards, like, North favorability.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like, textbooks, too, like, they're all kind of, like, we know it as the Civil War, but, like, I think, like, our friends in Alabama might not.
Oh, wow.
That's so weird.
That is so weird. Also, something that I learned that I didn't know was that the Germans had this hostage list of high profile and wealthy citizens who they wanted to take hostage for ransom. I had no idea. I thought that was such an interesting factoid.
Yeah, totally. I would have liked to know who else was on the list. Yeah. I'm sure I can look it up.
You were on the list.
Yeah, I heard. That I knew.
My interesting factoid was I had no idea that Winston Churchill had this, like, thriving artistic side.
Me neither.
He was, like, so cute. He was, like, such a little artiste.
Also, I loved when they talked about, in a lot of pictures, he does the V, which is also known as the peace sign.
Right, right.
And they were talking about, like, what it meant. And I really hoped at the end he was going to be like, it means peace.
Literally never.
But now, just so you know, when I'm doing that in all pictures, it's harking back to Winston Churchill.
Like, absolutely.
It's just a bit of history for you
to
guys.
Your core.
That's why I've been doing it all this time.
Right.
Okay, now it is time for the moral of the story. And I didn't have one until literally right this minute, I'm just going to share it.
Okay.
And it's that the truth is stranger than fiction.
Ooh, I love that.
The truth
is stranger than fiction.
You couldn't make it up.
Oh, sorry. I was just like
a true story. It could be stranger than
fiction.
It's
true. That's true. Was forgetting that this is a true story. I kept being like, this is such a stupid character device, or like, what's the function of her in this plot? I'm like, oh, right, this happened.
Saying it's like, it's hard to read a book that you know it's like, this just happened. You're so trained, like, you know, as literally, a novelist.
What's the motif point of this?
That's really funny, but I do feel like some things were actual motifs, like the ghost, like the woman, the older woman, and the charity.
So I feel like
they had those elements for you to
just literally for me to analyze.
So, morals, anyone? Do we have any morals in the group?
My moral has to do with charity. Like, I'm having a hard time putting it into words, but, like, giving back and, like, what you have, like, is only as good as, like, what you put back into the world.
Yeah. Mine was, I feel like, on the similar note, change starts with you.
Yes. Also, there was that quote at one point where it literally says that, like, you know, give what you have and whatnot that her dad had said.
I know what you're like.
I think that's what you're saying. Very nice. Snatchler,
it's all gonna be okay.
Is it?
It'll all work out.
Yeah. I also liked at the end, like, they obviously had to wrap up the book with at the beginning of World War II, so it's kind of like a weird way to wrap it.
Yeah.
And they added that excerpt from Churchill's speech where it's like, don't fear the future, even though they had everything to fear.
Yes.
And, like, knowing what lay ahead. But it's like, you just got to rip the veil off, Snatcher.
Wait, I'm sorry. Am I missing something? Like, she got out.
Yeah, no, but like,
so
no,
she's
no, I'm
be
sorry.
Okay.
She's okay, but the world was not okay.
No, sorry. I was just like really talking about like your personal.
Right, but when Churchill made that speech, he was speaking to the world. So it's like he told the world, even though they had so much to fear, like, do not, we don't fear the future.
Maybe that's a good one. Don't fear the future.
Yeah.
I like totally. That.
Okay, now it's time for the Hollywood treatment. A little bit of fun for everyone.
Woo.
Let's start with Consuelo. Obviously, this spans her life. So I'm thinking young Consuelo, 18 to 35.
Okay, yeah. That's what
probably,
I have.
We'd probably have to switch actresses after that. I had Sophie Turner.
Oh, that's good.
Long-necked Sophie.
Yeah.
Snatcher?
For some reason, like, I couldn't stop picturing Emma Stone.
That's good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I had Emma Watson.
Okay. Very good.
Thank Guys, you. I had Emma Roberts.
Emma.
Oh my God.
She's an Emma deep down. And then I had a transition to Julia Roberts.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's really good.
But then the long neck, I was thinking Laura Dern, like old school. Like that's
actually
like
also really yeah. good.
Okay, that's yeah. crazy. Sorry to jump around, but I had Julia Roberts for Alva.
Okay. Ooh. For Alva, I had Jessica Walter, who is no longer with us, but she plays Lucille Bluth.
Of course.
And I was just had her in my mind every time Alva spoke. You know Lucille Bluth from
yeah, of course.
Arrested Development.
Yeah.
That's Alva.
Got
Who's
it.
Who's your Alva?
I had Meryl Streep.
Nice.
Great. Yeah. She's always like good at being mean.
Totally.
I had Kathy Bates.
Oh, very good.
Especially like Titanic vibes when she was like.
Yeah. You know, I was actually at one point I thought they might cover the Titanic because so many of the people on the Titanic, they were going from like the UK or Ireland to the US and they cover the Downton Abbey. The show opens up with the Titanic and like because people that they were related to passed away. And I was surprised that Consuelo, like no one close to her was on it or they didn't mention it at least.
Damn.
That would have, like, that's another interesting
Especially
piece of history.
Especially kept talking about, like, going by boat.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, damn.
I thought maybe, and Beautiful. Now you know, like, can understand how, like, the Titanic was that sort of boat. And it was the biggest and the baddest.
I gotta rewatch Titanic.
They actually probably should have mentioned the Titanic because, like, it's so Consuelo.
We've just found a flaw.
Yeah. Okay. Then for Sonny, I had Jim Parsons.
I had James McAvoy, which is, like, the same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I had Elijah Wood.
Oh, good. Yeah, we're all in the same boat.
I had Lord Farquaad.
I can.
Perfect.
As a cartoon and all.
Perfect.
That's amazing.
Then for Jacques, like, I really couldn't think of a French actor, but then as I said it out loud, I was like, oh, Jacques, Luann's ex-boyfriend.
That's exactly who I had. Exactly who I had. Like, I'm just so dead.
100%. You guys don't watch Real Housewives of New York, but she had a French boyfriend named Jacques, and he literally fits the description.
Okay. I had Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, that's good. Snatcher.
He is not French, but I had Rami Malek.
No. Oh, pretty good. He's just a good actor, and he's a chameleon.
He really is.
He can be whatever you need him
he's
to be.
He's not tall enough, I don't think.
I picture
Jacques
as
like
tall.
A strapping hunk.
Yes.
Just, yeah.
Like, we barely fit in the plane.
Our Hunter.
I was also just waiting
dip.
For Jacques to die by plane.
Yeah, yeah. But then he didn't, and that's what really happened.
No, I know.
Nice. Okay, let's give this book our rating so we can share other books we read this month. I guess I'll go first because it was my choice. I came in here ready to give it a 4.2, but after talking about it, I like it even more. I'm going to bump to a 4.4.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Snitch?
Oh, I'm going to give it a 4. Honestly, after talking about it, it made me like want to start fucking watching Downton Abbey. Like,
if you guys are looking to scratch the itch, please come to me. You know what is so interesting that I traced my thoughts back and the reason why I even started this historical journey to begin with, like before the books it was Queen Victoria, the show before that it was Downton Abbey, and before that what started all this,
The Crown,
Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Oh.
So like thank you Bridgerton. If I never watched that show I would not be where I am today.
No, you would not
literally.
Be where you are.
Dana?
I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
I also gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
Jackie was ready for you to come in
I
here
believe
and
room.
For it to be like our highest rated book.
No. I actually don't think that would make sense for it to be the highest rated book, but I did think it was very good.
Honestly, like I was expecting to give it like a 2 when I started, and like I really liked it by the end.
I'm so glad. So our overall Redheaded's rating for this book is a 3.85.
I feel like that's completely fair.
Feels so appropriate.
Yeah, it feels so right.
It feels like the average rating of all of our ratings. Okay, now it's time for the other books that we read this month. Someone, Dana, would you like to go first?
Yeah, I actually only read two, but they were both phenomenal. So this was a quality over quantity month.
No, but also we only had 3 weeks and we were in Nashville. We had no time.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I only had one that I finished.
The first was The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne. It was so good. I would give it a 4.7, like one of the best books I've read in a long time. It's not for everyone, but like it was great. And then per Ritz recommendation, I finally read The Girl with Seven Names by Hyun-Soo Lee, and it was a masterpiece. Just like also historical, not fiction, a memoir, and very, very like intriguing from page one to the end of the book. I was invested in this girl's true story life.
Wow.
Unbelievable. It's a legendary read. I could not recommend it enough. Mm-hmm.
What did you rate it, Dana?
A 4.5. Wow. Which is high for me.
That is high for you. How come you don't just give stuff, like anything that I just enjoyed, 5?
As I keep saying every time, like I need to recalibrate, put all of the books in a row, reorder it and rate it, and then like I'll have a better standard. But yeah. I'm just like, well, if I gave that a 5, I can't give this.
I understand. Bex?
I read, per Dana's recommendation, The Push by Ashley Audrain, and it was unbelievable. I will say, like, I would recommend it with caution. Like, if you are looking to start a family in, like, the next, like, year or so, like, maybe this isn't the book for you, but it talks just about, like, motherhood and, like, women who might not necessarily believe that they would be a great fit to be a mother, but, like, feel societal pressures at times to, like, have children and bear children. And it just, like, way deeper than that. It was so unbelievable. I rated it a 4.5.
Wow.
We both rated our books a 4.5. Hey. It was really, like, I can't recommend it enough. One amazing book.
Okay, it's on my list of things to read. I just need to get to, like, a place where I'm ready for a change, which I tried this month. So I read The Romanov Empress, a novel of Serena Maria Fyodorovna by C.W. Gortner, which is the story, like I told you guys. I thought it was so, so good. Again, it was very similar to this book, the same exact sort of layout, just about a different woman. And there were times where I was like, it feels like I'm just like, you know, running, like this author's just like running through a list of facts and we're just trying to get from one place to the next. But overall, it was a history lesson told to me in a pleasurable way. I gave it a 5 stars in Goodreads, but now I kind of want to like be in the club with you guys. So I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Love that for you.
And then I was like, okay, I need to like do something different. The new Lauren White Weisberger book came out called Where the Grass is Green and the Girls Are Pretty. She wrote Devil Wears Prada and also When Life Gives You Lululemons, which was a book that I loved. So I was really excited for her new book. I got to 28% when I decided to put it down because I found it to be not for me. Like, yeah. I don't know if other people are liking it. Claudia got to 30% and I don't know if she's going to keep going.
Wow.
It was like a take on the college admission scandal, which I'm just really over in general. And I was just not finding any of the characters likable, relatable, interesting, or anything of the sort. So that was really disappointing. And then in my next weird disappointment, I was on my way to Dallas. I was like, I have to start a new book. Went to my want to reads, which were a lot of suggestions from toasters and redheads. And what I should have done was start American Duchess so I didn't have to read so quickly. But I started a book called A Brief History of Montmorency. And I didn't do a lot of research. And I don't even think it's a true story. I don't even know if Montmorency is a real place. I looked it up as I was reading it. And it's like a YA historical fiction book. I'm 80% in. I'm going to finish it. But I just had to start American Duchess. But I don't know what the fuck I'm reading. To the person who recommended it, like, why? No, I just am so, it's the weirdest book I've ever read. It's about like this island off the coast of like
Britain. Do you think I'd like it?
No, you would hate it. It's like,
are you kidding? That recap was like, should I do it?
I heard YA and I was like, so will I like it?
It's an island off the coast of Britain where this like, it's its own kingdom. And so there's like a king and like the kids, but like no one lives on the island. It's just like these three princesses running around and like the king is mad and they just like run around the island. It's like so insane. And it's set in like 1933. It's so fucking weird. Okay. So I don't know who did this to me. I want to finish the book. Maybe it gets like better. I have no idea.
80%.
I just like,
yeah, it's a lost cause.
No, I'm going to finish. I'm at 80. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do it.
Tonight. Yeah, no, I just needed to start American Duchess. It went by pretty quickly, I'll say, but you guys, I'm going to be way more cautious about taking recommendations without doing proper research.
Totally.
But like up until this point, all the recommendations haven't required. Yeah. Anyways, now that's all we read this month. It is time
I'm still in the middle of the book that I spoke about on Last Redhead, so.
Nice. You know what, Snitch? Take your time.
I'm taking my...
Are you enjoying yourself?
No, it's a little weird. It's like a serial killer.
Oh, okay. Sometimes you got to put it down.
No, I'm not hating it, but, like, I'm not dying to, like, listen to him, like, butcher someone else.
Oh, okay.
Summertime Snitch, you know? She's a little busier.
Yeah, it's called The Butcher. Okay, cool.
Do you get my vibe?
I understand. Now it is time for Becky to tell us what we'll be reading next month for Becky's Choice.
Guys, redheads.
I don't even know what the answer is.
Me neither.
We are reading The Nature of Fragile Things. It comes highly recommended. It's a very Becky's Choice. It's like a bit of a historical fiction, but like there's thrill involved. I would just say that it has to do with like an earthquake in San Francisco. And like that's like the start of the book.
What was your last choice?
What's
it, Four Winds?
The Four Winds.
Oh, fuck.
That wasn't her fault.
That wasn't her fault. It Kristen had all Hannah the makings of a great book.
It
it's
did.
Hannah? Not Hannah?
Kristen Hannah? Yeah.
I say Hannah.
It's H-A-N-N-A-H.
Yeah.
It was like H-A-N-A or
no,
something.
No, it's not.
No, it's Kristen Hannah.
That wasn't, Becky's, like, that wasn't Becky's fault.
It was Becky's choice.
Like, but I'll tell you what was Becky's fault.
Red, white, and royal
Have you seen Luis?
Have you seen Luis Velez? It's like the hill that everyone will die on. It's like the worst Becky's choice.
Yeah, but you know, it's good that we didn't realize how bad it was until like after we did the episode.
So bad.
It was bad, but then there was like a comedy of errors that compounded on its badness, like us like having to push the recording like six different times, and we just wanted to get it over, like
the cover.
The cover. Well, I saw that the author released a new book, so I sent it to Beck.
God, you should read it.
So funny. And the cover was just as bad.
That should be your punishment for choosing to read it.
Could you imagine if I came and that was our book?
She just chooses books by that author till the end of time. Wow. Okay. Well, this was such a fun episode. I'm so happy with my choice. I feel like it sparked such a great discussion. I'm really excited for your choice, Bex. You had sent a few recs, and I was going to tell you to choose that one, so I'm glad that you did. And we'll see you guys next month, the first Thursday in July. We hope you enjoyed this book and this episode. You know where to find us, at The Redheads on Instagram. Join our Facebook group, The Redheads Book Club. Follow all of us on Instagram if you care to. And we will see you next month. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks. See ya.
Bye.